Of Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, we'll look at a couple of verses, beginning in verse number 38 down through verse number 42. Luke 10, verses 38 through verse number 42. Let me just say thank you to all those that came out and helped out our two families move, one on Friday, one on Saturday. Everything went well, and as far as I know, nothing really got damaged, so we thank the Lord for that, and nobody really got damaged either, amen? So we trust the Lord. Some of you might be a little sore than others, but if you wouldn't be such a he-man, you wouldn't be that sore, amen? It was a good time of fellowship on both Friday and Saturday as well. And the ladies had a wonderful time. And listen, I know there's a lot of ladies' conferences that are coming up, and we don't expect you to attend every one, but if you could catch one of them, amen. So if you missed the one last weekend, there's one coming up in town this coming Saturday. Then next Saturday, there's one at Bethel Baptist, I believe, in Charlottesville, right near Charlottesville. And so I encourage you ladies to make one of those. It's a good time of fellowship as you travel down and back, and you'll just be blessed by that as well. And so as we move into the spring, we're getting really excited. Beginning next Saturday morning at 9:30, we're having our bus prayer, Sunday school time, and then at 10 o'clock, we'll have our outreach, our first outreach of the new year. And so we're asking you just to come, and if men, your ladies are going to be gone, so why don't you just come and get together with another man, and we'll go out and hang some flyers, inviting people to come to Sarum Baptist Church, but also come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then as we move down toward the end of the month, we have the very exciting Hampton to Heaven. We'll give you two opportunities each and every day, beginning at 10 a.m. in the morning and then 6 p.m. at night for the whole week. We're going to try to get out 4,000 to 5,000 invitations to meet the Savior as their personal Savior. So we can only do that if you're willing to come out and be a help to us. And you say, well, I can't do that many. Well, can you do two or three? Can you come and just do two or three, and that'd be wonderful, and then come back the next day and do two or three more, and that's all you can do, that's all you can do, and we'll just have a wonderful time as we get back into the routine of witnessing, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 38 down through verse number 42. Many of you have read this scripture before and understand this passage. I believe I preached on this particular passage before, but not in the same context as we're looking at today. Remember, 2 weeks ago or last week, we began a series of messages entitled The Importance of Relationships. We're going to continue with that for the next couple of weeks in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through verse number 42. But here in Luke chapter number 10, if you look in verses 25, you don't have to turn there. In verse number 37, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what brought about this parable was the lawyer is really trying to justify himself to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse number 29. And basically, Jesus told the lawyer this after finishing this parable, that he was to notice these words, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. And these words of Jesus come immediately right before our text in Luke's gospel this morning. And it would seem like if you were to study Luke chapter 10 and Luke chapter number 11, it would seem to be this theme of doing things. Whether it was soul winning in verses 1 through 12, whether it was repenting in verses 12 through 15, maybe helping your neighbor in verses 25 through verse number 37. And then as we move to chapter number 11, we find this doing theme again in prayer in verses 1 through verse number 13. And then down to the end of chapter number 11, we find this doing and obeying God's word. And this morning, our focus once again is going to be on this idea of the importance of relationships. Specifically this morning, inside a family relationships. I'm not speaking about the relationship between a husband and wife or a child and his mother, but understanding family dynamics, family relationships. And depending on your perspective really determines whose side that you might take this morning as we begin this message. One might take Martha's side and think Martha was justified in her frustration with Mary. She sat at the feet of Jesus soaking in his teaching. After all, think about this. There is a need for people to be doers, is it not? We need people to be doers around here and share Unitarian Baptist Church. I had the privilege to sit into the ladies' Sunday school class this morning, and Miss Maria spoke about that. It's important that we just not soak up all this information, but we become doers of what God expects us to do. We could point out to about all the people that are without the gospel of Jesus Christ, and those that have no Bible in their language and no Christian witness living among themselves. Others may refer to the state of many churches all across America today that has the growing resistance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we certainly could say this, we have a work here to do, not only nationally, corporately as a body of believers, but as a gathering here at Sharon Baptist Church, there's a work for us to do. But then, many of us could relate to Martha in this story, while others might side with Mary and a concern for having devotion for her Savior and the holiness of Jesus Christ. But while Jesus confirms some things that he said must be done, he points out one thing that was necessary. And in this passage, we see a conflict that occurs in a relationship. And in this relationship, we find this conflict is not between two enemies. It's not between two people who don't know each other. It's not between two people who hate or despise each other. It's between two sisters who love Jesus Christ and want to honor him, who seemingly together they want the same thing. But they're disagreeing over how this honor of the Lord Jesus Christ should be done. And the issue here in this passage is priorities. It's not sin or it's not disobedience. So let's stand out of respect for the reading of God's word this morning as found in Luke chapter number 10. We begin reading in verse number 38 down through verse number 42. And then we'll pray and we'll ask God really to challenge our hearts in this matter of relationships, thinking on this thought of what is necessary. What is necessary? Notice what the Bible has to say, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before you on this glorious, glorious day of worship, I pray now, Father, that you would challenge our hearts in this matter of relationships. Help us, Father, to figure as the body of believers here at Sharon Baptist Church, what is the necessary thing that we might maintain good and right relationships inside the local New Testament church. So, Father, would you speak to that one that could be here this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior? Oh, Father, maybe they understand that he was born at the day we celebrate his birth on Christmas. Maybe they believe that he was risen again on the day that we celebrate Easter. But yet, Father, they don't know him personally. And Father, may this be the day where they come to that saving knowledge of Christ. And help us, Father, as believers to understand this fact that we need to figure out what is the necessary thing that we need to do. So, Father, would you bless now the preaching and teaching of your word, Father. Be with those that can't be here today, Father. Some are sick, Father. I pray for them. Lord, you might touch them. Raise them up again to be with us very soon. So we pray now and ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Notice what it said. And now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him. I want you to understand, first of all, that this is not a parable. This is not an allegory. We find that he entered into a certain village and met a certain woman. Her name was Martha. And Jesus went into her house. Verse 39 said, and she has a sister called Mary. You see, Martha and Mary agreed on one thing. They had become followers of Jesus Christ. They might have disagreed on a lot of things, as sisters do and brothers do, sometimes siblings and sometimes husbands and wives, but Martha and Mary did agree on this one thing. They both were followers of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus arrived at their house, we find that Mary wanted to sit down at the feet of her Savior and hear his teaching and hear the preaching of the Master as he taught them. And Martha apparently wanted to be sure that Jesus felt right at home in their house. To help really set the stage, you need to understand this, that in the Middle Eastern culture, this culture is defined by hospitality, particularly in providing food and beverages for those that come into your house. So neither of their intents was wrong. Mary's intent to worship the Savior and hear the teaching was not wrong. Martha's intent to feed her guests that came into her house was not wrong. And so both of their motives and both of their intentions are totally pure. That wasn't the source of the conflict. And the conflict or the cause of their troubled relationships. So let's see, first of all, we need to ask ourselves, number one, what was the real issue here? What was the real issue? What caused this conflict in their personal relationships? Well, I thought about this. When Christians disagree over a particular area of ministry or theology or methodology, they rarely argue over who loves Lord Jesus Christ the most. When church splits happen and arguments happen, no one's really arguing about, I love Jesus more than you. Oh no, I love Jesus more than you. Not one time in my almost 30 plus years of being in the full-time ministry have I ever heard someone argue about who loves Jesus more than the next person. They rarely argue about that. They're not questioning most of the time each other's intent or their motives, though it may seem to be that way on the surface. I think most often when Christians begin to disagree or when disputes arise within the local New Testament church, it's precisely because each of the two people or the both factions inside that church love Jesus Christ and they want to honor them in a way that they think would be most honoring to him. In fact, their love for Jesus Christ is what's driving them to have a disagreement on this issue. Let me illustrate it to you this way. When part of a congregation has a disagreement, perhaps, let's say this, they want to use particular funds for one thing, while another wants to spend the money in a different way. Sometimes disagreement occurs when one group of Christians believe that worship ought to be conducted in a specific way, while the other group on the other side of the church believe it should be conducted the way that they believe worship ought to be conducted. Or sometimes it's something simply as this. One group thinks that you can sing any style of music, while the other group thinks that there's a specific style of music that can only and needs to be sung inside the local assembly. Perhaps one group thinks that any of the other so-called Bibles can be used inside the church, while others think there's only one Bible that can be used. Now, before you begin to think that the pastor has gone liberal, and by the way, I haven't gone liberal unless you use that term literally liberal as being fat. I have gained a few pounds over the past couple of months. So if you think I'm liberal as being fat, you're right. But liberal as being not conservative, you're wrong if you would think that. Let me explain. Just because someone has a different point of view than you doesn't make them apostates. Sometimes, if it's a doctrinal matter, it will make them apostates. But if someone believes the walls ought to be blue and you think they ought to be cow's milk white, listen, they're not an apostate because they believe the walls should be blue. They might be wrong, but they're not apostates. Both of them, or you and I, are expressing our concerns out of a love for Christ. They love Jesus like you love Jesus. They just think Jesus loves blue more than he loves cow's milk on the walls. All biblical Christians agree that this one thing, that Jesus Christ must be the primary focus of our lives. Matthew 6 and verse 33, the Lord says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, the key is found in the first part of verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." And then in Matthew 22 and verse 37, the Bible says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That is the key. As biblical Christians, even though that we may disagree and disagreements will come, understand this, that Jesus Christ must be our primary focus. I think the real issue is that we all love the Lord and we want Him to be glorified in the best possible way. The people that want the blue, they think the Lord's magnified with blue walls. The people that like the cow's milk white on the wall, they think the Lord is best magnified and glorified by the cow's milk paint in the best possible way. That doesn't mean that we're going to team up with just anyone around here. Understand this, that there's some things as a church that we have to separate over. Doctrinal issues, things that are cut and dry inside the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that I can't accept someone as a fellow believer. I know a lot of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ just as much, if not even more than me and more than you, but guess what? They're not of our persuasion. As a matter of fact, they would run from the Baptist name. But they believe in salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believe that He died for them and rose again on the third day and now sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. That doesn't make them an apostate. It just makes them different than you and I. I think the real conflicts arises is in the believer's love for the Lord. All of us. Me and you together have a love for the Lord. But Mary and Martha, think about this, both of them loved the Lord. But yet dissension came between two. A matter of great discussion that motivated Martha to open up her yap and really tell on her sister to the Lord Jesus, like the Lord didn't already know what was happening, amen. In Luke chapter 9, in verse number 49 through 50, we find these words. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. In other words, he's saying he wasn't of the independent fundamental Baptist stripe. He didn't line up just the way that we did. He might have used another Bible beside the King James. They might have not had a hymnal. They might have had smoke and lights and different things inside their auditorium. But notice what he said. And Jesus said unto them, forbid them not, for he that is not against us is for us. So we see what was the real issue, but then notice secondly, what do we do about this issue? What do we do about it? Have you ever questioned someone's love for Jesus Christ because they have disagreed with you about an area of ministry or an area of practice? Of course you have. We all have done that before. We looked at them and we thought, that's a crazy lunatic. I can't believe they think that way. I don't know why they don't want white walls. I don't know why a cow's milk. I don't know why they want the blue walls. Boy, they're just off their rocker. We all have done that. But how can we respect someone's passion for Jesus Christ rather than question it? Again, remember, they love the Lord as much as you love the Lord. So how can we respect someone's passion and love for Jesus Christ rather than questioning it? Just because they like blue and we like cow's milk doesn't mean they don't love the Lord any less than you and I do. We can do things by staying focused on each other's love for the Lord. That's how we can come together. Rejoice in your mutual salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the truth. Whether you like blue or you like cow's milk, guess what? One day you're going to be in heaven and the walls are going to be cow's milk. They're not going to be blue. So listen, share and have a wonderful time together. Remember, Jesus didn't call us to be critics. He didn't call you to be a critic. He didn't call me to be a critic. It's true we ought to be fruit inspectors, but we're not to be critics of one another. And when you find yourself in conflict with other Christians, be sure to identify the areas where that you can agree with despite the conflict. You might say, well, I know that you like the cow's milk and I like the blue, but hey, I like the color of the pews and the color of the carpet. We can agree on that. Oh, sure, we can agree to disagree on the paint. So let's do this. Let's paint one side blue, one side cow's milk. Amen. Well, that's what we often do, compromise sometimes. Listen, here's the truth. Be sure to identify those areas where you can come together despite the conflict, despite the discussion that you're having. And if you don't do that, guess what's going to happen? You'll burn the bridges that you could have used to help them or they to help you. Do not burn the bridges in your relationships. Well, not only do we see what they agreed upon, what did they agree upon? If you're taking notes, the love for the Lord. That's what Mary and Martha agreed upon. But then also notice, secondly, what they disagreed upon. Notice in verse 40, the Bible says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered is a great word, and you need to do a little word study on that. I didn't take time to really build that into it because I preached about that before, but that word cumbered is a very wonderful word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You see, understand this morning that both Mary and Martha loved and treasured Jesus Christ. But what they disagreed upon was how to express that love or that affection for their Savior. In fact, Martha very sternly expressed her disapproval with Mary over her lack of apparent concern for not helping her prepare the meal, which she thought was more important. Well, Mary didn't seem to push back on this idea. It's clear that whatever Martha was doing, Mary had no interest in joining. She was at the feet of the Savior, soaking in his teaching. Well, if you're taking notes, notice first of all, what's at the center of this? What's at the center of this? Don't forget, we're talking about relationships. Understanding why people do what they do will always help us out. And this story here of Mary and Martha offers a glimpse into the heart of many of us. Those that are gathered here this Sunday, those that are listening by the way of live stream, understand that when disputes arise between two Christians who truly love the Lord, they often center around how to best love Him. Conflict often happens when someone tries to impose their views on others, the view of someone wanting a blue wall, the view of someone wanting to have the cow's milk wall. And when we start to see our perspective as the only right one, guess what? It leads us to believe that our purpose is the only purpose. It leads us to believe that our strengths are the only strengths that matter inside the local New Testament church. It leads us to believe that our reasoning is the only right reasoning, which is nothing more than arrogance and ignorance on the part of a person that believes that way. So what we need to do is try to embrace and celebrate the wonderful differences between each and every one of us. The real issue is, are you somehow being threatened by this disagreement? Are you being threatened by this agreement, or are you just disillusioned by the decision of the person that opposes you? I think if the truth of the matter is, we're really not being threatened in this disagreement, but we're just disillusioned by their decisions. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, which, by the way, is a great psalm to read. In verse 165, the Bible says this, great peace have they which love the law, and nothing shall offend them. I wonder how many of us are guilty of this without even realizing it, that we're offended at someone else's decisions because we don't have the love for the law of God and the Word of God and God Himself. God is clear about what should be a universal passion for each and every Christian. We are called to, number one, to love Him. Number two, we're called to obey Him. And thirdly, He calls us to pursue holiness. And without love, without obedience, without holiness, we will never be in a right relationship, not only with God, but with our fellow man as well. Well, not only what's at the center, but notice secondly, How should we handle it? How should we handle it? How can we be more patient? How can we be humbler when someone doesn't share our same viewpoints, or let me grow it out a little bit, our same vision that God has given us here at Sharon Baptist Church? I think number one, we need to learn to wait on people. Give people time to come to a biblical perspective. And here's the truth of the matter is there a biblical perspective on a blue wall or a cow's milk wall? No, there's not really. But listen, give them time to allow God to work in their hearts and work in their life. One thing I think we can all agree on is this, that the Bible is the final authority of our faith and practice. And everything that we believe to be cut and dry is not so cut and dry. I don't think the Lord is concerned about whether we have a blue wall or we have a cow's milk wall. I believe the Lord is concerned about we honor and glorify Him in all that we do. And we ought to do our very best for Him. Well, not only do we see what they agreed upon their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Both Mary and Martha truly loved the Lord. And then we saw what they disagreed about. In other words, the disagreement arose out of how they expressed their love or affection for the Lord. But then notice, lastly, in verses 41 and verse number 42, what is necessary? What is necessary to correct the problem? And Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 41, Martha, Martha. You want a good study in the Bible? Study the double calls of the Bible where God or the Lord called out someone's name double in a row. That's a good study for you. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Notice, first of all, Jesus resolved this matter of this discussion between Martha and Mary. Jesus, in the most gentle and loving manner, settles this disagreement between these two sisters, Mary and Martha. I want you to notice the words that I used, in the most gentle and loving manner. Too many times you and I want to settle disagreements inside our family, inside our church family, inside our work relationships. We want to get them settled. We don't use a gentle or a loving manner. Jesus lovingly and gently settled this matter. At first glance, if you look at this, you might think that he appeared to side with Mary. But notice, he never told Martha to stop doing what she was doing. What was she doing? Preparing the meal for the Savior. But notice he pointed out that she was careful and troubled about many things. The Lord was concerned about her heart attitude. He was concerned about being with him mattered more than preparing the meal. He was concerned about her heart attitude, that she needed to be listening to him. And that's the most essential thing. Notice in verse 42 again. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, if you look at this passage of Scripture, the meal, the preparation, the house, and all the cleaning, and all the material things, guess what? One day, those things are all going to be gone. But knowing Jesus and being in His presence can never be lost. And we need to be cautious not to criticize the Marthas inside Sharon Baptist Church at the expenses of the Marys. Here's the truth. Work has to be done. And believe me, there's plenty of work that needs to be done. Jesus is not undermining things that need to be done. He needed to eat. The disciples needed to eat. He's not undermining those things that need to be done. He's simply pointing out to what should be the guiding purpose of our lives. And that simply is this, as Mary did, His devotion to Him. Well, let me apply it to our life this way. We can't have our eyes fixed mainly on what we do. We shouldn't fix our eyes just on what we do and what we need to accomplish, but rather on Him and what He's done for us. I'm reminded of what Paul teaches. He said that he died for us. He rose again. And he's returning one day to take us back home. He writes to the church of Galatia in chapter 2 and verse number 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And then he goes on to say what I want us to see. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the work that ought to capture our minds and our hearts. The truth is, when our devotional life is where it should be, most of the conflicts that we face inside our homes, inside our churches, inside our relationships, outside in the world, will be resolved if we have our devotional life where it ought to be. It's only then that the work that we do for him is going to prosper and be placed in our hearts. Paul told the church of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Here's the truth. Paul's saying, listen, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus Christ. And he says, we boast in his work. Paul says, I boast in his work. You and I don't boast in our work. We boast in his work. My confidence is in him, not in myself. Paul puts it this way as he writes to Timothy in the second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded is able to keep that which I committed unto him until this day, that day. Here's the truth. When our confidence is in him, nothing will move us. Nothing will stop us. Well, we see that Jesus resolves this matter, but then notice, secondly, as we apply this to our own lives, let's resolve to apply these truths to our own lives today. You see, Martha's service to the Lord Jesus Christ became a distraction. It became a distraction from spending time with him because she lost her spiritual balance. Her work for the Lord, making that meal for the Lord and the disciples, pulled her away from the Lord of the work. And I think it happens to you and I that we can get so twisted in our work for the Lord. We can get so overwhelmed on the inside. And when that happens, our frustration begins to foam up in our mouth and resentments begins to spew out of our mouth. Griping begins to come out of our lips like it did with Martha, which can lead to bitterness and us to focus on the wrong thing instead of the right thing. Martha was focusing on the wrong thing. Instead of focusing on the Lord, she was focusing on the task for the Lord. Sometimes we get to the point, even when we focus on things that do not really matter. And because of the imbalance that Martha had in her life, it affected her relationship with her sister. But it's no different for you and I even today and us here at Sharon Baptist Church. The answer to our imbalance in our life is not to stop serving the Lord. Listen, Jesus never told Martha to stop preparing the meal and come sit down at his feet as her sister did. But it's to make sure that we spend time with him having a good balance inside of our life. Balance your service for Jesus Christ with your intimacy with him. And I can promise you this, if your intimacy is where with Jesus Christ, where it ought to be, guess what? You'll not have to worry too much about your service for the Lord. And that's what Martha failed to do in this exact situation. In trying to be a blessing to the Savior, in trying to be a blessing to the disciples, she stopped being one by griping about what she perceived her sister to not be doing. Let me ask you this question. Have you stopped being a blessing to your family and friends, maybe your husband, your wife, or your children, because you're griping all the time, causing broken fellowship and your relationships with those inside the church or inside your home as well? Well, as we close, It's not a secret. Christians disagree. I wish it were not true, but Christians will disagree. How things should be done inside the church is always going to be a source of contention. It's always going to be a source of disagreement. God has made us as individual people. I have my ideas the way I think should be done. You have your ideas. That person on the back row has their idea of how things ought to be done. But we must never lose sight of Jesus Christ or fail to see the great work He accomplished for us, dying on the cross that we might be saved. Maybe in your relationships inside the church have been hindered because of your lack of fellowship with the Lord. So that was Martha's trouble. Her closeness to the Lord wasn't where it ought to be. And maybe you're having trouble with a certain relationship inside the body of believers. And maybe, and truly, it's because you don't have great fellowship with the Lord. Jesus wasn't condemning Martha and her work, because again, work is important. But Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part that shall never be taken away. Choosing that good part, choosing that fellowship with the Lord will enable you to keep and to maintain proper relationships. Listen, just not inside the church, but in your home, in your family, even in your work in many situations, both in and outside of the church. So let's commit today. Let's commit today what Christ asks us to do. Would you be willing to choose the good part, to maintain good relationships with other people? And you say, well, how can I do that, Pastor? Remind me one more time. Well, we can do that by having a good balance between your service for Christ and your intimacy with Christ. That is the key to having good relationships. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.